Blog Talk Radio.
That is, y'all. That's Stevie. We can work it out. Stevie Wonder. This is Citizen Payne. What's happening? Adjusting the mic and things. Put my little windscreen thing on here that they have. So anyway, that's Stevie Wonder. We can work it out. This is Citizen Payne. This is K's son. I am K's son and friends. It's a Wednesday, June 30th. And yeah, I'm talking to you live, right? You're not listening to this tomorrow. You're not listening to this yesterday. For those of you that are Tenet fans, I just watched that movie last night. But, yeah, no, Tenet wasn't bad. It was okay, but, you know, the gimmick. Well, whatever. It didn't work for me, but still entertaining. Like I'm saying, got to... couple of things going on in the news, obviously. I don't really want to talk about cars getting out, but he got out on a technicality. And it might be a technicality, might not be a technicality. I'm sorry, I got the brothers waiting to get on too. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman, Byron Saunders, legendary historian. And cars, yeah, he got out, but he just needs to be quiet. Just be quiet for a little while, man. Let people that love you because of the place you held in their heart, let those people, you know, try to have some reconcile of what you're accused of and who you are, the place you hold in their childhood and their life or whatever. And, you know, 50, 60 people, women is a lot of people to be making stuff up, you know. Not saying that it can't be done, but I don't know. But there are questions all around. So, hey, what are you going to do? Also, too, we're going to talk about the mayor's race. Look, I'm going to ask Wayne about how it looks to me like they're trying to screw Eric Adams around, to be honest with you. First it was Catherine Garcia and Andrew Wang. Showed his really true colors of what who he really is to me. Ganging up and campaigning together. Like they're on the same ticket. Of course, Andrew Yang, people saw through his BS. He was nowhere near in the top five or six even. And Garcia is right behind Eric, but he got 51%, so... You know, we've still got absentee ballots, but, you know, on the count yesterday, we're going to that when we get Wayne, because Wayne can give a better perspective on that than I can. And, you know, these Republicans, what they're voting against, what, a resolution to have a select committee on the insurrection. And only two Republicans voted yes, and I think the rest of them voted no. These people are trying to, I think the modern, this version, Trump's Republican Party is just, they're like, fuck it. We're the White Citizens Council, for those of you that are historians or aware of history. White Citizens Council, and that's what we're going with. You know, that's our base we're going for. We're going to make it plain. And they couldn't have it the way they wanted. They're used to a version of America that was giving them preferential treatment as a white supremacist society. Even the fact that some of them can't even admit that if any objective person would have to see that clearly this is a society that favors a certain group over another group. That should be obvious to a blind person, right? But to go along with just a facade and even people trying to teach the history that there was slavery in this country, and they don't even want that. That's, hey man, straight up white supremacist. I don't give a shit what they say, how they try to couch it, the fact that they might be in elected office. One thing I always wondered, I always pondered when my uncle was, or was curious about when my uncle was first elected to Congress, that when, and maybe this is when I really started being aware of my life in the world and in America and history and all that stuff, when he first went to Congress, and to see individuals like many of these racists that are there now, like a Louis Gohmert, Strom Thurmond, Jesse Helms, straight up segregationists, guys from back in the day, that they were standing, you know, no niggas, basically. And to see these people, you know, when my uncle was in office, I was like, wow, these individuals are representative of a whole constituency of people that clearly the majority of them think like them. And when you break down the numbers and what actually the facts are of about how many people each congressperson represents, you know, at that time at least it was roughly 600,000 per representative. So you figure in a state like Texas, you got three or four racist congresspeople in there, and, you know, you get your congresspeople per population that you have. You know, that's a few million people, a few million racists that are okay with what these guys are talking about. A few million racists, clearly at one point in this country, that was the way of life, right? Black people were second-class citizens. It's history. I mean, you know, I guess they're going to have to, like burn all kind of pictures and movies from back in the day. I guess that will be next for them, huh? Because they're really trying to eradicate this history. We see what they're just straight trying to, I mean, just trying to tell somebody, who you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? You know, talking about the Black Matters protest, comparing them to the June 6th insurrection of the guys who tried to have another civil war. And you know, nothing. They don't consider anything. And I see all these people being surprised. Usually there are other white people that are so surprised and they talk around really what the issue is, right? Oftentimes, what I'm noticing is that they'll talk around really the issue of race and how large of an issue that plays in their perspective. And I guess it's just an assumption of entitlement that, yes, America was a dual class society, and we're white people and we were the upper class. And why wouldn't we discuss these things? And why wouldn't we look at it from our perspective that only we matter? What else is there? You know, and just in their discussions about why would these guys, and maybe interviewers are supposed to lead people into questions, but, you know, I'm looking at some of the people on here, and they're not doing too much leading, but they're not really getting down to the nitty-gritty, because some of these cats are straight racist, and they want America to stay a white nation or a white man's nation, you know. And I respect the ones, even though they're elected, I respect the ones who say that, Josh Hawley or whoever these other racists are. Like this guy Gosar, who's campaigning with a white nationalist known and, you know, out front with it. Hey, his own brother yesterday on Joy Reid was talking about he was campaigning for his opponent. So, you know, that's where it is. But it ain't nothing new to people of my generation. Certainly not new to any of the people of Wayne and Byron's age. Not saying you guys are different generations of me. I think probably around the same generation. But, you know. It means nothing to them. So let's go ahead and bring in the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. Get him to jump in. Wayne, how you doing?
All right. Good evening. You've touched on just about everything, a potpourri of all sorts of things going on. And, you know, I don't know where to begin, but I have to echo your sentiments, man. I can't even bring myself to say I have respect for some of these characters just because, you know, they're openly who they are. You know, I just think it's downright ridiculous how they're destroying our democracy. And if we don't really stay on our game, the crap that we went through 4 years ago will come back to revisit us in a different manifestation again. You know, but that's the problem. you know, I there's so many different aspects of our problems that need to be tackled all at once. You write about that whole vote with the insurrection. You know, it's just hard to believe that these Republicans, except for two, would turn around, saw what they saw, you know, had the victims of the families of the victims of this insurrection present when the vote went down, and still didn't give a damn. The fact that these people protect the lives of these elected officials and, you know, just want to hold on to a lost agenda, and it's just a matter of time before Donald Trump's game is totally exposed. They just brought charges against his fixer and here in the Southern District. And, right. And you know, then he's down in, I think he was in either Texas or Arizona yesterday campaigning before a conservative group. I mean, he has not formally announced, but it's with the understanding if I could keep this game going, maybe I could draw more financial support to fight my other battles because, you know, once the stuff is shut down up here in New York, the banks are going to call on those loans, and he don't have the money to repay the banks, and that's been the issue. And speaking of votes, I don't know what to make of what's going on in New York City. Somebody told me a while ago, I'm not going to call the person's name because they're a public figure, but they said to keep my eye on Garcia. And
because?
You know, I took it for what it was worth, but, you know, when I saw what went down, and you just alluded to that between Yang and Garcia campaigning like 1 week before, you know, this ranked vote took place, I just find it amazing how she came out of nowhere. And I still have problems with white people, I don't care if you're adopted or not, sort of like justifying their whole political beliefs because they have an adopted black brother or blood-related blood. You know, I mean, that's so irrelevant. I wouldn't even, you know, it's like the whole old adage of some of my best friends are black or some of my best friends are Jewish. I have problems with that, you know. I've just lived through too much of that, and, you know, whether it's meant in a nice way or whether it's meant to describe yourself as being woke, I still have problems with that. I find that irrelevant. Show me your history. You know, at least in Yang's case, it became apparent that this man never voted in anything locally in New York, and that went against him. But if we had known that from the jump street, perhaps he would have thought twice about trying to run for public office here. You know, but
what do you think the person? What do you think the person meant when they say keep your eye on Catherine Garcia?
Well, they for some reason felt that Eric was going to be done in by someone, and I quite frankly thought it would have been. And it's not to say because he's still ahead, but they don't have the mail-in votes tabulated. But the thing that really bothers me, Eric and Byron, is that, and Byron probably knows this as a historian, that New York City's election board has always been tainted with some crap.
Right.
And they need to clean that up. That's the problem. And
right.
I think, you know, what the
let's bring Byron.
I don't want to disclose who it is, but
right.
He, you know, told me just to keep an eye on what was going on. And I guess the chickens have come home to roost. We'll see.
So did you took it, and I want to bring Byron in. Did you take it to think that they meant she's a little slippery or this is a little kind of a little shady activity?
I think that it was there may be a clandestine agenda there that has not come to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my friend – was leaning towards a Ray McGuire candidacy as opposed to Eric Adams, you know?
Yeah, okay.
When I spoke with them, but they said look out what's going to go down, because, you know, maybe the climate is just about ripe, especially with all that. There was no reason for Yang to campaign with Garcia.
So you're saying maybe they were saying the climate is just about right for a Catherine Garcia to come in and win out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's bring Byron in right here. Legendary historian Byron Saunders. Hey, Byron, how you doing?
Well, it's raining down here in Washington, D.C., and I'm doing just fine.
You get
fine.
A little cleanse.
I'm,
the town
yes,
gets a little cleanse.
Cleansed. You see, the trees and the grass are happy because in this filthy town, we need a washing, okay? I'll put it on in that context of where I'm going, because on this day, I want to remind America of it's really the pandemic of racism, because on July 4, 1910, a seminal event took place, similar to what happened today with Bill Cosby being released. I've not seen as many white people and women do backflips other than the conviction of O.J. Simpson. And what I'm putting in the context is because the notoriety of a black man and the commentary that was now featuring the comments from Bill Cosby says, whose attorney, I might be paraphrasing, saying that Bill Cosby might have said it, this is a victory for black America. Okay. I want to take you back to that.
Yeah,
July
it's not.
4th,
it's not. In my opinion, it's not. But,
yeah.
But I love Dr.
Not.
Mr.
And
C. My man, but no, bullshit.
Yeah, and but you have to put that into context as to why that is being taking the phrase of using that to profess another agenda, which happened in 1910 in Reno, Nevada, when the Great White Hope, Black Johnson, defeated James Jeffries and gentlemen. That victory created lynchings, riots. Fights,
yeah.
death,
I don't know if you can compare that,
threat.
Bruh. I don't know if
no,
you can compare
no, no.
that.
You have to hear this because it's not the event. It's how it was framed. Because in the framing of lynchings and the use of high-profile black men, because, you see, when Cosby was convicted, he became the poster child for rape of white women. We have to at the historic moment, because I want to read you what the New York Times said after Jack Johnson kicked Jim Jeffries.
I don't think that applies, man. I see what you're trying to say. I see the theory you're trying to draw, but I just really don't think that applies here. It doesn't apply.
Because, and gentlemen, let me tell you, because what's happening in Washington, D.C., because listen, fellas, what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the because the Confederacy built its concept of white superiority from the president on forward from that moment to 1910 to right now 2021, where we have the same conversations are going on within the white supremacy milieu. Could not but get two votes today from the Republican Party for the insurrection, one of the greatest crimes in American history, but they're doing backflips because a man who served his time, yes, got out on a technicality, and that's unfortunate because as guilty as he was, he's not the polarized poster boy for all that is wrong in this country. Because we got to go back to that event that just took place here in Washington, D.C. today, where only
I think you're conflating the two issues, brother.
It's not
I really
a
do. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
But
I really think you're conflating the two
issues.
You're trying to draw a theory and a concept to me that doesn't hold as much water. It might hold about 10% of that water for my pail, but.
Fine, that's okay.
Can I just say something?
Go ahead, let Wayne get in there, because I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
Yeah. The one thing that bothers me, and I know it's probably a very unpopular point, you know, as far as whether, and I was just talking to one of my neighbors about this earlier, you know, black women, white women, you know, pale women, whatever, accusing him, you know, the deal is that here's a man. Certainly not a paragon of morality, you know, for whatever reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But this black man carried an entire network on its freaking back for damn near 10 to 15 years. When they couldn't get anyone else to keep that operation going, he was the answer.
But you guys, okay, go ahead. I mean, I totally feel
you.
The
only thing I want to say is that, you know, I mean, and I understand where Byron is going with this, but I still think,
I understand too.
How much wealth he has, no matter, you know, they had to make him, they had to do a sacrifice on him, you know, and the deal is, somebody had to see this technicality before. And again, I want to read the script because I don't want to, you know, come up with any kind of definitive answer. But I still go back to the struggles this guy went through to be America's father and carry this image to make the millions of dollars that he made to keep that company going. And then when he walked in and had the audacity to try to purchase the damn thing, then the tables turned again. I mean, and that's just my perception. You know, I don't care who you are, Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, you can only go but so far. And some of us have gone to lofty heights. But they wanted to make an example. I still think there's something to be said about his son's death. It could have been a hit. I used to hear a lot of crap back in the day.
Listen. If he has raped anybody's sister, there might be some motherfuckers out there that might want to kill him. Real talk, like they would anybody, not just because it's Bill Cosby. And hold on, bro. And also, I agree with all of you guys are saying about the image of him putting him out there and them just jumping on that. And I watched the sister that was working for the defense that was on the air today that was ripping him afterwards, but there's 50 people, 50 women, and like I said, I'm not discounting the fact that they could all be lying. I wouldn't discount that. It's a high probability that could be the case, really. But okay, anything's possible, right, in this country against black people. We know all of that. All of the shit you guys just said, those are all given. Those are already known facts. But when you hear about your idol, that's who he is to many of us, which is why I have a problem separating this, and all the good he's done, right? But when you hear about this other behavior that's heinous, you gotta get judged on that, B. Because you presented yourself
right.
to be
that's
the cat.
Right.
Hold on, bro. Before you interrupt me. Before you gotta get judged on those actions. And it's a fucked up thing because we already know what they're gonna do, how they're gonna couch it. That's what I'm saying. All y'all are saying we know that they're gonna bring all of that. Because that's what they do all the time to us. The Jack Johnson situation was different because he was hooked up with a white babe and they were liking him. They wasn't, to my knowledge, maybe you do know of more than that if they were accusing him of rape. To my knowledge of everything I've seen, he wasn't, maybe might have been once or twice, but he wasn't accused of rape, right? He was accused of beating white men's ass. He was accused of knocking white dudes out, disrespecting the system, and creating a whole fucked up shit for their little make-believe world that they believed in. That's why they wanted to get Jack.
And
that's
that was 50 years before Emmett Till.
But that's why I don't think you can compare that situation with Bill Cosby, because it's a different situation. There's just a similarity in where they stood as cultural figures and historic figures as it relates to black history. But the actions that got them into the places that they ended up where people were trying to attack them are totally different in my estimation. That's why I'm saying you can't really put Jack Johnson's situation with causes. I mean, of course, there are a number of parallels. There's a lot of parallels, but the action that got him in that position is something different than what got Jack into his position. That's what I'm talking about.
Eric, do you think that the 26 women who have accused him or 26 plus are paragons of virtue? I mean, I happen to know one of them, at least in my early life,
Listen. That's really kind of neither here nor there, right? Because all it takes is him doing it one time. So yeah, we do know that some of them even other women are sure that some of them are gold diggers and making that shit up. It's like, why do you keep going back then? If you claim he raped you one time, why are you going back when he sends you another chick? We know what time it is. Everybody entertainment business knows what time it is. You're trying to get on. Everybody in the world, people know how some people use their sexuality at some certain times. Some women would be down with that. Like with Harvey Weinstein, some chicks were down to sleep with him to get a part. Whatever. Some of them look at it that way. But that doesn't excuse him or give him a right. Hold on. That doesn't excuse him or give him a right to go ahead and rape a chick, does it? No, it doesn't. So that's what I'm saying.
I hear you.
Do you know what Jack Johnson was convicted of?
Was it tax evasion or taking a white woman across?
Called the Mann Act. And the Mann Act was a rebuke. The Mann Act, M-A-N-N.
Right, right.
That's what it was called. He was convicted on transporting prostitutes, mostly white women, back and forth across state lines.
Still not rape, B. Not hearing the word rape, B.
Listen. Yes, it's not rape, but they lynched his character. You see,
what? Are you really trying to compare the two? The fact that Cosby was accused of rape, and
I'm
they
not
got
defending.
Jack messing around with white women and they didn't like it, and they made up some charges?
I'm not defending.
I'm not saying
Bill
that you're defending. I'm not talking about your defense. I'm talking about your ability, your attempt to try and compare the two. I don't think in that instance,
as a cause celebre, all I am saying as a historian, as a cause celebre, pitted black women against black men.
Yes.
White women who were convinced of the sexual prowess for which newspapers, both the New York Times, the L.A. Times, all across this country, began to vilify black men in the concept of this one man, not because he was the one
because,
the greatest of
because,
all time as a boxer, but
you talk about, okay, you talk about Jack Johnson.
Living
okay.
a lifestyle. Of living a lifestyle that was flamboyant and in
all
the
of that.
Face
can we submit to the court?
America.
That's all. Can we submit to the court and save you some breath and say that all of that is known already and get to our sticking points of disagreement is the fact that Jack's actions are not comparable to Bill Cosby's actions of rape or alleged actions of rape. That's you can't deny that, bro. All of those. I mean, all of that stuff you're saying. I submit that I agree with you. We know all of that. But it's the issue that got them. It's his actions weren't the same actions of Jack. Jack is, you know, like you said, all of that. The cause celebrated, his cultural standing. Yes, they're going to come after him because he's a black man. Yes, all of that is agreed upon. All of that has already been established in all of the documentaries. But it's these two issues, the fact that they tried to get him on some bullshit Mann Act. They made it up because white chicks was liking him, and he's a big, bad black man, and he's destroying the old myth about black people, and the white chicks are loving him, and he's partying with them, taking across state lines, and that's how they got him. That's different than Bill Cosby getting accused of drugging women, slipping them a Mickey. I don't mean to laugh, but it's just a phrase. Slipping them a Mickey, and then allegedly
he was convicted of that. Different. We can say that. He was convicted of that.
Well, he was convicted of that, but I'm just talking about it's different.
Yeah, because he kept saying he was innocent,
So that's what makes it different to me. We swing back to Washington, D.C. on the political map. We are taking the route of our attempted overthrow of our government. I've stopped calling it an insurrection. See, putting it into the context of its truth and reality, if indeed it was an attempt to overthrow our government, the crime of treason, gentlemen, is a far worse crime. It's called the rape of a democracy. And this is where it's not conflagrating incident. It's because the rape of our nation took place on January the 6th. And we have rapists who are traitors to their constitutional oath. I feel violated as a citizen of the capital of this world.
I
want my justice. I don't care about letting out Bill Cosby. I go to a higher judicial need for reconciliation. Because at the point of which all this other stuff to me is just fog in the mist of insanity. get to the real truth of what we're trying to demand. Because if
right.
the end game of the Democrats is not to prosecute the traitors of this nation, stop playing with us and don't get my emotions all involved.
Right.
Because I'm going beyond.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not, I mean, that's, you know, it's news and they all had to talk about it. Everybody had to talk about it because it's news. What I was more focused on, really, the point that I would, that probably would lend support to your guys' perspective is the fact that they let him out because there was an agreement between him and the prosecutor that it wouldn't prosecute him. And then the next guy comes in and throws that agreement out and goes ahead and prosecutes him. So to me, whatever is the rule, as effed up as it might be, that's what I was concerned about. Give cause the same rights or the same – he gets the same rights as everybody else. So whatever the rule is supposed to be, regardless of how fucked up his act is, he gets the same treatment as the white boy who did the fucked up shit, who got off on the technicality rule as well. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's where I see I agree with your with the slant of your point is that it almost seemed like so much coverage on this was that they weren't going to apply the law in this case. And they almost, some of them almost wanted to say, some of the women, and understandably so, right, wanted to say, well, it's a technicality. They let them off. Well, it's the law. Like the lawyer said, I don't know if you guys are watching the 4 o'clock hour of MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, you know, they were focusing on it. And the lawyer said, hey, the male lawyer, the dude that's been on there before, is really good. He's held a high position. I forget his name. But
Ari Melber, is it, or somebody outside the network?
No. This is a guy that contributed.
I watched it.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, by. So when he said that, he said, it is what it is. He said, this is the law. The guy gave him his word, and he's got to let him out, as messed up as it is. And he had to come back because the sister was so emotional, because she was on the team, and he kind of criticized the prosecution team. So she was so emotional when he had to come in and say, hey, yeah, it's fucked up, but this is the law. And you got to go with the law. And see, to me, it was almost, and I hear what you're saying, because I hear what you're all saying, almost because it's a black man, well, we could bend the law this time because look at how heinous the crimes that he did was. And you're right. They're heinous as shit, allegedly, or whatever.
But, you know, I tell you,
gets the same treatment, but he gets the same equal treatment under the law that everybody else gets, and don't try to change it because it's a brother and this black man and all that bullshit that you said, Byron, that they try to use to bring us down because y'all want that to happen.
Well, I would hate to see Harvey Weinstein walk away with that. You know, this may establish a precedent because I think, and again, I didn't read, you know, the depths of what was being what led to this decision today. And I want to get a chance to thoroughly digest it, but it had to have been known 3 years ago. They took 3 years out of this man's life,
and
in the twilight of his life, you know, just you know, to let the process to play out. I'm not saying it makes it right or wrong, but you know, I mean, the deal is that I just hope this does not establish a precedent when it comes to Weinstein. You know?
I agree with you. I mean, but whatever the legal technique, whatever is legal, you know, that's what we're talking about. That's what Byron always talks about, the Constitution, right? Cats got to live up to the piece of paper that we all swear to live up to. And if we ain't going to live up to it, we're going to pick and choose, cherry pick about who we apply it to or not, then the whole shit is bullshit. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let cause, it's fucked up, but dude made the agreement, like my man broke it down. Technically, this is what the letter of the law says, so he got to get let go. Y'all fucked up when you said this. Your boy fucked up. And lo and behold, who was the DA at the time? The guy, the wacky lawyer who was representing Trump in the impeachment hearing.
Yeah, right.
The one who was damn near incoherent in his defense. So you know, it makes kind of makes perfect sense a little bit.
Yeah, Justin.
Okay, so coming back to Washington, D.C.,
right.
The other headline news, gentlemen, that I find just not mere coincidence, but one of a magnitude of the conversation we just had about Cosby and the administration, the insurrection. Donald Rumsfeld, the architect of the weapons of mass destruction, gets a hero's type of acknowledgement today.
Of course. Why are you surprised?
I can only see because for me, as a historian, the elements of
it pisses you off. As a historian, it pisses me off.
Oh, it rubs my rhubarb the wrong way, gentlemen.
But you shouldn't be surprised. You're a historian, but as a historian, I'm not surprised. It pisses me off like a motherfucker.
Weapons of mass destruction, and may I add one more piece of information of history of Donald Rumsfeld and how evil this man really was. He engaged in the first bombing of Iraq on Martin Luther King's birthday.
Hey, man,
that's
I thought Dick Cheney was
sad. That this week you just got through coming through that crap.
I got
to bring history back into the notion because these things are critical to the choices that are being made as we speak right now. Did we not just drop some more bombs on Iraq?
You acting like he knew it was Martin Luther King's birthday, bro. He wasn't even paying attention. He was like, when's his birthday? What?
That night on January 15th, he instigated
He closed his eyes and
put a
picture date in the calendar. He threw a dart over his shoulder.
You're right. I just want law and order. Prove it. Show me it actually works. Because the same mistakes that the Democrats are making right now and trying to appease the Republican Party is a repeat of the Republican Party appeasing the Southern Confederacy at Reconstruction to appease them by having them take a blind oath for which they would not ever keep in terms of their coming back into the United States of America and giving true authority to the overall federal government over states' rights and then giving them reparations to come back into the Union.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me it's not a repeat of what's going on right now.
Right,
the Democrats are not, they're not lying down. They're fighting this thing. In fact, the Attorney General.
You're right. They're actually fighting. They're getting a backbone, but it's going to have to come in. They're going to have to. How many Republicans do you think really belong on the new.
The committee to investigate the threat.
How many? Only two have earned the right to be on it.
Oh, they should be all on there. Of course, they're not going to have all 100 and change, but, you know, the bottom line is, in a real world, it should be a balanced committee.
So that was the whole argument about not having them on the committee was that there would be ones on the committee who voted against the investigation in the first place, and they would do nothing but be on there as spies to tank the committee. So it makes no sense to have
That's
people
fine.
Who voted against.
At this moment, only two deserve.
Right, so you have only two
room.
On. You don't have the ones who voted against that are part of the insurrection on the committee. That's what they're not going to do. That would be the old Democrats.
Boy, we were that bad.
Let
him, okay.
One man, one vote. That's what it comes down to. One man, one vote.
You don't get
a chance to tell us. You're going to put Marjorie Taylor Greene on. You're going to put the other idiots.
Oh.
Only two of the 220.
Yeah.
It ain't Green or Gates,
Right. See what I'm saying? Because at the point at which that's appeasing the Confederacy. We have a Confederacy in our midst right now.
Well, we don't know yet if they're going to put on just random. I heard that Pelosi was not going to put on ones that voted for it. And also, too, obviously, what we still have back then, it was more clear that during the Confederacy that you probably did have, even though they were on the other side, allegedly, you know, there were Northern racists that were down with the Confederacy. They just were going along with the new direction they thought the country was going in. So I'm not surprised that there are still probably some Democrats that are closet kind of with that white supremacist vibe a little bit, or or not all the way down with all of the rights that we're talking about. I mean, all I have to do is look at Joe Manchin, look towards in the West Virginia area to know that there's at least one Democrat around that's not all in agreement with everything we're trying to get done, you know?
There you go.
and trying to make sure the filibuster doesn't go away. Maybe, hey, when I saw Kristen Sinema or whatever break it down, I was like, well, maybe she's got a point. You know, God forbid one day we're in a minority again. But I think that, I don't know if it was Malcolm X who said it, I think it was that the phrase time dictates action. What kind of act, what time it is dictates what type of action you will take. And, you know, if we have to lose the filibuster, this might be the time to lose it. Because if you let the other
candidates... It's time to lose the filibuster. It's time to lose the Electoral College. They were both born out of a need to count people of color by fraction.
Mm.
That's why it has to die.
Right.
Yep.
I agree with you 100%.
Oh, boy.
Also, what you heard about this federal appeals judge, circuit court judge, who voted to cut back on the amount of aid that black farmers were to get. Their reasoning was, this excuse was that it was discriminatory towards the white farmers, that you tried to reverse the discrimination that had been done to the brothers for 400 years by about 3 or 4 years.
Are you serious? I didn't see that one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
I saw that.
Yes, sir.
I saw that. Well, the new one, that's absolutely the insanity of it all, is a state's governor using 50 of their National Guard paid for by a billionaire to send to the border. Where in the hell does she get the authority to take our federalized militias as mercenaries?
I was going to get into that. You know,
a governor did this 2 days ago.
Well, again, you know, the lines are blurred now because look what Trump did, you know, during the Black Lives Matter protests. You know, he called out his militia to stand with him and all that. You know, so
well,
I mean,
really,
the president again has been set.
Yeah, what to me is being, you know, I try to look on the big picture of that, what they're doing and what they did to Milley the other day, and how they tried to come out at General Lloyd Austin, Secretary Austin, and how they're trying to talk about the military being woke, and how, you know, you had cops rolling up on cops on the 6th of January, and now this, it's obvious to me at least, they're trying to size up who's down with what side, who's on what side, right? And they're encouraging that, obviously, in the military, that, you know, we know that the military, everybody's known the military has always been racist, just like the reflection of America, and when blacks started getting more and more. But they really seem like they're trying to count their numbers of their troops, and they're trying to find that within our military. They're trying to find that within our society, those people that have served, or law enforcement, or ex-veterans that are racist. This governor sending the National Guard troops down to the border. When I heard that, I was like, what border? North Dakota, what? Canada? I'm like, you know, because what you said, where does she get to? Do you understand how the country works? Do you understand that? I mean, at the very least, the decorum of respect of the hierarchy of the government. And these people don't know that. They don't know, their people don't know, or they don't respect, or that was only for their convenience. That's the only reason they're following those rules, as long as they worked out for them. And so they do crazy shit, like, you know, like our president told us to come down. There's three co-equal branches of government. The president is not the king, you idiots. Just because he says something doesn't make it right. You know, you're a governor. You don't spend your National Guard superseding the authority of their commander-in-chief. They're not under the National Guard is not under your jurisdiction. That's how John F. Kennedy was able to send in the National Guard to fucking George Wallace and say, look, I'm going to send these guys in there. Even though they're located in your state, I'm going to call them up and tell them to ride down the road.
Exactly.
So, and these are individuals, but that's what I'm saying. You know, you talk about the Constitution. That's just a piece of paper to them. Those are rules. That's like a big Monopoly game to them. When you get that one person gets mad, they start losing, they flip over the board. You know?
Well, the problem is I still want to believe that the American experiment at some point will have to work for this country's survival, because we're on the precipice of such dramatic changes. Yeah. Huh?
You know what that sound is?
What's that?
That's the bursting of your bubble, Wayne. I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
Did I tell you I still believe in Santa Claus?
Did
I tell you that I don't want to have to renew my Trinidad Tobago passport?
Hey,
did I tell you that
there's nothing
I can leave to go to get me out of this mess at this point in my life? You know?
Okay.
I lived through the riots in the 60s. I know what it's like to be stabbed. I fought all sorts of stuff. I'm damn near 70 years old. And I got to worry about the freaking militia? The Proud Boys? The Boogaloo Boys?
Hey, bruh. Well, son, life for me ain't been no crystal staircase.
If you believe in Santa Claus, Wayne, I have to tell you that there is Christmas in July. Get ready?
I hope so, because I was headed down your way. Now you tell me it's raining.
I want to go
to the African Smithsonian so badly, and a friend of mine told me I need to visit Atlanta, Georgia. I need to get a real taste of African-American culture in the South. I need to visit all the museums and the monuments that have put up to get a taste of the African-American culture, you know?
I think
that's something that all of us should do. The struggles that we've gone through is like a confirmation, a reaffirmation of continuing the struggle, continuing the fight. If you know what we've been through, you know, because I admit I missed all that. I grew up in the North. My parents were from a different region of the world. I got one lesson at home, you know, and I read, but, you know, again, the same way I didn't know about Juneteenth, I didn't know about Tulsa, I didn't know about, you know, all the other little places where these problems erupted during the course of our history, even within our lifetime. It's because I've been a victim of the same ignorance that these white folks have of not knowing what's going on. I didn't know because some education system did not do its role to teach me what I should know.
Right. You and a lot of other people. You and a lot of other people, which is what my father is.
It's shameful. That's what the fuck. Excuse me.
Which I feel you, brother, which is my father's Amistad legislation. Working to teach those lessons. Also, what the modern-day critical race theory is obviously attempting to work towards. And you see what's happening there, how they're, you know, that's their other rallying cry. You hear that every time you hear one of these conservatives, one of these people talking about one of the main, you know, one of their main things that they're against. That, and I happened to just flip over to Hannity last night, how he tries to present Joe Biden as being senile or something, which is just, you know, just the lies. And just you look at Trump, you hear him talking about nutty stuff, and now this book is coming out where this guy and this girl wrote this book about really what was happening inside the Trump administration and with the pandemic and all that. And they talk about some really crazy stuff, man. He wanted to send people to Guantanamo that didn't want to mess up his numbers for the pandemic. I mean, you know, we'll be saying stuff where the whole room would be quiet, like, who's going to tell him? Like, oh, shit, the boss is, you know, and to think that this individual was in charge, you know what I'm saying? And these people are going along with it. I mean, it's like they're not even smart shoppers. Come on. This is your guy? This is the guy you're going to roll behind? Really? This is the one you're going to pick?
Yeah.
That's going to be your general. It shows you how ridiculous and how they have no cause other than hatred. If that's the individual you people choose to rally behind, you know? Mm. I mean, look at Rudy. Rudy just lost his license. That's how crazy it was, right? Just lost
his
fucking...
Didn't go far enough with him.
His law license. Mm. But that's a direct result. And the other chair, you know what, the Sidney Powell chick, her, part of her lawyer's defense on her stuff with Dominion suing her for $1 billion was saying the defense, they actually made a defense, we talked about this before, that her stuff, the shit she was saying was so crazy that we naturally assumed that nobody would believe it.
Right.
That's the defense. Who, I mean, it's like, wow, you guys really said that with a straight face, huh? Wow. Wow, you must think, wow, you must think we're new to New York City and you're running the three-card Molly game on us.
It's crazy, man. I mean, but white supremacy society, right? It used to be like that. Whatever old wild flip shit come to mind, that's how they used to treat black people. You know, you got the right to vote, Negro? Tell me how many jelly beans are in that jar over there up on the counter. That's part of your test. Just making shit up. Who wants to have a society where I want to have people that I could just treat like shit? I'm going to make that society, and I'm going to make that society. One of the pillars of the society is I want to have a class of beings, because we don't think they're human. I want to have a class of beings that I could treat like shit, order them around to do whatever I want, abuse them if I feel like, and just pretty much do whatever I want with them. Who thinks like that? Who comes up with that? What kind of sick, twisted individuals come up with that?
Some remnant of the British Empire. Some.
I don't know.
Some European came and thought that was a good idea and spread the and gave the blueprint to all the other colonies that they had control over. You know,
all over the
this
world.
Is what
I
you
wouldn't
do.
Say it was just one country in Europe, because they had that treaty that they would all go carve up Africa and all these other dark people places of the world. Who, you know, clearly there must be some spiritual connection there when they see the people that look like the original inhabitants on the face of the earth. Clearly there must be some deep-seated thing deep down in their soul that makes them either align with or hate. Because look at how they react. Look at how some of them react when your black ass walks in a room.
Mm-hmm.
There must be some kind of envy or hatred there to cause this visceral reaction for him to react this way. My very presence caused these people to be upset or feel some kind of way or start shuffling or shifting the way they're standing or get rigid. Man, I must be powerful. That's the way I look at it.
Unfortunate.
Are you guys watching any entertainment in particular that you are interested in seeing? I know Wayne, both of you guys really were going to be, they claim Broadway is going to be opening again in September. Bruce Springsteen was on Broadway in a sold-out house the other night. And they had
an announcement to make.
Go ahead.
Something I think will be of interest. In January 2022, for a two-week run, my show, Live from the Bardo, My Dinner with Mary, is set to run at the Theater for the New City in New York City.
Oh.
Hello. Congrats.
I'm the stage manager and assistant director on this.
When is this? When, where, what?
It's going to be a Theater for the New City. It's on the east side, off-Broadway company. And the show is going to have a two-week run. In January of 2022. I'll give you details and dates. So, Broadway is opening back up, and I have a show as a producer, associate producer, assistant director, and stage manager. I get three credits.
Right.
So I'm happy to make that announcement, guys.
Hey, man, congratulations.
And we'll keep talking about it until it's time to go see it. Theater of the New City has been around for quite a while.
It's exciting to know that our entertainment industry, and you as well, Eric, because over the periods that we have been doing Zoom presentations, it was nice to watch a couple of weeks ago Eric in School Days, and the Eric that we know right now, Wayne, is because this is a young man whose ideas were being formulated back in his early days when that movie was made. And you can see his passion of being awake, like Lawrence Fishburne says at the end of the movie, wake up. We're in the wake-up time.
Yeah.
We really are. Yeah. And it's amazing because we are a true reflection.
I was just going to say the only time that I really had a chance, and I did see the movie without knowing – you know, I saw it years ago, but I know in Malcolm X, your image, Eric, and I believe, you know, I forgot exactly which came first. I think it was, what was it? Because I forgot the chronological order in which Spike's movies occurred. But the deal is that, to me, it was very profound. You know what? I mean, even you see certain faces, the way certain people came to the fore on the screen, whether they had speaking roles or not. It was just something about the way Spike used to cast his characters. I don't even see much of that in his modern work. And I haven't seen the last thing I saw that he did was the flick about the violence going on in Chicago. I forgot the name of it. Chi-Town or something like that.
Chi-Rack.
Yeah, right. That was the last thing I saw of his.
Yeah, that's at least 10 years old, that movie.
Already? Can't be.
It's pretty old. Now, if not 10, is it close to that? That was about the violence of, gang violence and gun violence.
Yeah. And I saw that at 125th Street one evening, and I don't know. But it seems that I know he's been finally given acknowledgement and recognition and all that, but I just think a lot of his early work, I remember when he used to come to the old LIB begging for support, you know, after She Had to Have It, you know.
He had
to have it after that, you know,
right.
And he got it, you know. But I give you guys credit. I mean, I wish I could assign, you know, some sort of royalty.
We got a minute.
To
got a minute.
The work that I've done, but
time.
I can't.
you got a lot of royalty. You downplay yourself a little bit, way too much, my brother. People know who you are. I always tell you that. But we talked so much, we got the last minute. So, Byron, why don't you give the people your sign off, let them know.
Yes, sir. I just want to let people know that it was a hell of a week. Stand by, because we're shifting gears, folks. The change that we've been desiring and praying for is happening right before our very eyes. Enjoy the weekend. They call it the celebration of independence, but we know Juneteenth set us free. Continue to stay free. Peace and love always. Ciao.
All right, brother. All right, brother. We'll talk to you again. Wayne Gilman, legendary news.
Hey, Eric, I have to just echo what Byron said, man. You know, they call it an independence weekend, but, you know, the last weekend, you know, when we celebrated Juneteenth, that is truly the day of reckoning for us, you know.
All right. Get the last word, Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. We'll talk to you again soon. This has been Kay Thompson, Kay's Son and Friends. I'm Kay's Son. Those are my friends. Thanks for joining us. We had a lively discussion, as we always do. So join us next time, all right? Talk to you again. Fight the power.